والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنا أنزلناه في ليلة القدر وما أدراك ما ليلة القدر، ليلة القدر خير من ألف شهر، صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا تقوم الساعة حتى يتقارب الزمان، فتكون السنة كالشهر والشهر كالجمعة، وتكون الجمعة كاليوم، ويكون اليوم كالساعة، وتكون الساعة كالضربة بالنار. رواه الترمذي، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Dear brothers, it is customary, we will say, to have a small program for those who are in itikaf for about an hour during the day, during the last 10 nights and 10 days of Ramadan when they are in itikaf. So we normally have this program for those that are in itikaf. But at the same time, it benefits others also who are present. So you just heard a little while ago a number of virtues of Laylatul Qadr. And what conclusion we come to from those hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is that it is something that you have to search for. Searching does not mean that day and night you just have to be engaged in one kind of ibadat all the time. But what it means is that you occupy yourself as much as possible in the ibadat of Allah, in zikr, in tilawat. And as I explained to you yesterday or the day before that, that you diversify your ibadat so that you don't reach a stage of saturation, as we call it. We are very weak. We are not like the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhum ajma'in. We are not like the great awliya of the time, of the past, that even if they stood in Quran Sharif recitation the whole night, it caused no such thing as saturation stage. They looked forward again to the recitation of the Quran Sharif the next night. If they engaged themselves in Nafil Salat the entire night, then they did not become saturated and said, well, now it's enough, we are tired for the rest of the year, now we're going to relax. They looked forward to meeting Allah Ta'ala again in the sajda of those namazes every night. So there was no question of them becoming tired of any particular kind of ibadat, because somebody's inclination is more towards salat, somebody's inclination is towards zikr, somebody's inclination is towards recitation of the Quran Sharif. So whatever your inclination is towards, you occupy yourself as much as possible in that, and then you diversify. The moment you feel you're getting a little tired, then you occupy yourself in something else. Now in this way, what will happen is that your time will be spent correctly, and if you're very tired, then you sleep, you relax, then even your sleeping and your relaxing will become ibadat. So during this process of ibadat, zikr, tilawat, recitation of the Quran Sharif, and even relaxing, sleeping, and even eating whilst you are in itikaf, eating and drinking, so everything is ibadat. So during the 10 nights and 10 days that you are in ibadat in this manner, as long as you control your tongue from any kind of ghibat, any kind of insult to anyone, any kind of degrading of people, as you just heard in that hadith, that one of the reasons why the fixation was taken away was because of those two people that were quarreling. So if the person stays away from all these type of things in the masjid whilst in itikaf, then he is definitely going to get Laylatul Qadr. That's what we mean by searching. That this person will definitely find Laylatul Qadr because he is there all the time. It is a great fortune, it is a great ni'mat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to be blessed with this ibadat of itikaf. But I did explain before you all sat in itikaf that there must be no comparisons, that we are doing the work of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he sat in itikaf the last 10 nights and sometimes 20 nights and sometimes the whole month. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, who was the greatest muballigh, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made tafsir of the Quran Sharif verses, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made ta'aleem, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he did welfare and social work, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam engaged himself in every kind of ibadat that you can think of, and there was nobody that made more nafil salat and who made more zikr than Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam. But yet at that time there was kufr all over the world. It was not that Islam had spread throughout the corners of the world and there was no kufr left. That's why Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam sat down in i'tikaf. In spite of all the works that he was engaged in, but still he sat down in i'tikaf to show that there must be some time in seclusion also, where the person is just with Allah Ta'ala and he is begging and he is seeking and he is searching for this Laylatul Qadr. So that was one of the work of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that he sat in i'tikaf. But now we must not compare, and we must say that now because we are sitting or whoever is sitting in i'tikaf, so therefore we are doing what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did, and other people who are running with the business and those people who are going in tabligh, or those people who are engaged in madrasas that are still open, or those people who are making ta'aleem, or those people who are making jihad, so they are not doing the work of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We must appreciate all those works too. We must not do comparisons. Yes, those people who are inclined towards this ibadah, they will engage more in this. Those who are inclined more towards that ibadah, they will incline more in that. Priorities are important. So sitting in i'tikaf is also the work of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and going out and making tabligh and going for jihad and defending the borders of the Muslim countries and fighting for the defense of Islam and deen, that is also Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's work. So we must appreciate all the works that are taking place. And also, as I explained, that those who are running the businesses, if they also are doing it in a halal way and they doing it to the extent that's necessary, and after that they're engaging themselves in ibadat, tilawat, namaz, zikr, so then we must not even object to that too. Because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, during his time, in his presence, if all didn't sit down in masjid Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then how can we ask everyone to sit down in the masjid? This is where all disputes and unnecessary criticism and unnecessary objections begin. But if we have a knowledge of deen and sharia, and we have an open mind and we are not prejudiced, then those who are sitting in i'tikaf, they will not look down upon those that are not sitting, and those who are not sitting will not look down upon those that are sitting. Everybody will appreciate the other's ibadah, that he's making dua there, we are making dua here, they're making dua there. So this majlis, which normally takes place for those people who are in i'tikaf, today I'm going to read to you, I read to you a hadith of Mishkat Sharif. And this hadith deals with the signs of Qiyamah. And over the next 2-3 days or 5 days that we have, we will discuss these hadiths of the signs of Qiyamah. Because we are living in times of fitna, so it is necessary to know where the fitna is coming from. We must be quick to catch up that now we are in that time. Like how a person, he is warned. The person is warned, somebody is traveling, he has gone ahead of him. He is already 50 kilometers ahead of him. And from there on the cell phone, he tells him that look, at a certain place there's a speed trap, be on guard. When you come near that particular board which shows Durban or Johannesburg or whatever it is, then you must be careful. Just 1 kilometer before that, the scorpions are there, the cheetahs are there, the lions are there, the tigers are there, and they will pounce anytime. So you must be careful, because sometimes they hide in bushes. So who hides in bushes? Lions, tigers, cheetahs. So they might just pounce from there. So you must be careful, you must be on guard. So now this person is driving, he's still 50 kilometers away, but he's wide awake and alert. Doesn't that happen? He's far away, but his friend informed him. So now he's keeping a check all the time. Where's that board? Where's that board? And he keeps looking in this bush on the right and that bush on the left also, if he finds Mr. Bush somewhere there. So this is the warning that has been given. So the person stays on guard. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave these warnings that when these type of things happen, when these type of things take place, then you must be on guard, that now you are in the danger zone. Now you are in the times of fitna. Now you must be extra careful. You must not get trapped He must not be deceived by nafs and shaitan. So some of the signs are such that any person with a little bit of sense, if he is a sane person, he doesn't have to be a great wali or a great buzrug or some great scientist to recognize these signs. Some of the signs are so simple that when the person has a little bit of sense and intelligence, he will recognize that this is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam foretold. And he said it at a time when these things did not exist, and when it was not as he had mentioned, that this time will come, but in his time it was not like that. And in fact, those people who have been in this world for 30 years, 50 years, 60 years, then they too will say that, no, 50 years ago it wasn't like this, 30 years ago it wasn't like this, just 10 years ago it wasn't like that. And many a times we say, just 1 or 2 years ago it wasn't like this. Don't we say like that? That shows that we are also acknowledging that there is a change that's taking place. How many things we say that, but 10 years ago it wasn't like this. If I have to tell you that in 1970 or 71, for 5 rand petrol, I used to fill up the Beetle and travel from Moy River to Johannesburg. And then you couldn't even come back halfway to with 5 rand of petrol. Now that is just 20, 30 years ago. But we say that that was the condition. Or we were sleeping in homes where there was absolutely no burglar guard. Those windows were those where they had those, old people will know, our Didat Mura and others here, that they used to have that kind of a cord, that if you just push the window, it goes down, slides down. Now imagine living in a home like that, in front of which there was a bus rank, so thousands of people come and go and pass, but nobody even was worried and concerned about putting one burglar guard there. So safe the condition there. So much of barakat in every little thing. For a few cents you can buy sufficient food and fill your bellies. So those who just lived or saw those times 30, 40 years ago, if they can talk like that, so what about 1400 years ago? What kind of barakat there must be at that time? Now at that time Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is predicting that this time will also come. Or when we used to go to school, we used to wait for lunch break. It used to take as if ages before lunch break comes. When your stomach twists properly, then you know, and makes all kinds of sounds, then you know that now lunch break is going to come soon. It should take a long time. The holidays, it used to seem that it never ends. 3 weeks of holidays or 1 month of holidays used to seem like a lifetime. So that is when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is talking about times and other factors during his time, 1400 years ago, more than that. And what he says, عن أنس رضي الله تعالى عن قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, the hadith is reported by Anas رضي الله تعالى عنه. What he says, لا تقوم الساعة حتى يتقارب الزمان. That the hour will not come. That means doom day, qiyamah day, the blowing of the sur by Hazrat Israfil alayhi salatu wasalam. That will not come until time comes very close. Time. And he explains that further by saying that فَتَكُونَ السَّنَةُ كَالشَّهْرِ. 1 year will be like 1 month. وَالشَّهْرُ كَالْجُمْعَةِ. And 1 month will be like one Jummah to the other Jummah, like 1 week. And from one Jummah to the other Jummah will be like 1 day. That means the year will become like a month, the month like a week, and the week like 1 day. And he says that the day will be like a flame of fire, like one flame of fire. The day will be like 1 hour. وَيَكُونُ الْيَوْمْ كَالسَّاعَةِ. And the day will fly like 1 hour. And the hour will be just like how the flame of fire just rises and disappears, finish. In other words, the person will not know how his time went. Look at this month of Ramadan. We were still waiting for Ramadan to come. Then we said, now we are 10 days into Ramadan. Then suddenly we said, now people are getting ready for Etikaf. And now in Etikaf, 2-3 days are already gone. There's just no barakat left in time. So he says that is one of the signs of the approach of Qiyamah. That means when you find the time moving with that speed and that pace, that you just can't seem to keep a tab, and you can't seem to complete anything, and where there's no barakat in anything, where the year just goes by like a month, and the month like a week, and the week like a day, and the day like an hour, then you must know that you are now coming close to that time, or you are already in that time. So then what should the person do at such a time? At such a time when the life is moving so fast, so the person has to be on guard. That he must not be negligent, he must not be in a state of ghaflat. He does not know when death will suddenly come to. Just as life is moving fast, in the same way death is coming closer very fast. Because the faster you are moving in life, the person who is 60 years old, then he says that he is getting older. But in reality what is happening, that he is coming closer and closer to his grave. Every day that is gone, we are one step closer to the grave. Every hour that goes, every second that goes, we are coming closer to the grave. In other words, every minute that goes, we are approaching our death. So the time when it is coming so close, it means that now we must be on guard. We must not be negligent. We must not think that we still have plenty of time, because the time is moving so fast. So where have we got plenty of time? So this opportunity that you have been given to sit in a tikaf, in a time of fitna, in a time when you cannot really complete the activities that you are occupied in and engaged in outside. The person who is a doctor that is sitting here, the one who is a lawyer and attorney sitting here, the business people sitting here, the ulama sitting here, the hafiz sitting here. Now everyone has got something or the other to do outside. And when the time is moving so fast that you can't complete those things outside, every time we say that, I just can't finish this, I just can't finish that, I've still got something more to do, I've still got to complete that. Now to cut off from all that and sit down in i'tikaf for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then it is a sign that this person has taken heed of the advices of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and he has taken lesson from this particular sign which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave, that the time will move so fast, that the year will go by like a month, and the month like a week, and the week like a day, and the day like an hour, and the hour like a flame of fire. It means the person has taken heed. Now this is where you bring in that example which I just gave you, that the person who is warned that there is a speed trap, now he is on guard, he is driving slow, he is taking it a bit easy now because he is approaching, and he is warned, so he is searching, he is looking, that it must not suddenly come away, I must not get trapped, I must not get caught, and I must not end up with a big speed fine. In the same way now this person who has been warned by Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then he is concerned, he is on guard, that I must not be trapped by nafs and shaitan. I must not end up with a speed fine, meaning I must not end up with the azab of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala coming upon me for transgressing, for crossing the line at a very high speed. So those who are in the very fast lane, cinemas, theatres, gambling, casinos, discos, dance, and every other kind of sin, and they feel that they are progressing and they are enjoying life, they are moving fast, but that is where the dangers are. So this warning of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is something that you don't require great intelligence to understand. That is what I was trying to say, that this particular hadith of signs of Qiyamah is not something that you require great intelligence. Then Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in another hadith reported by Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, but before coming to that hadith, let us look at this hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. An Abi Sayyidin al-Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala an قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم والذي نفسي بيده لا تقوم الساعة حتى تكلم السباع الإنس وحتى تكلم الرجل عزبة صوته وشراك عليه وَيُخْبِرَهُ فَقِذُهُ بِمَا أَحْدَثَ أَهْلُهُ بَعْدَهُ. What? Who could have ever said a thing like this except Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? If wahi didn't come to him, could he have ever mentioned a thing like this? To us, this has become a very common feature. Therefore, we don't consider this as some great kind of prediction and a warning that something is happening, Qiyamah is coming. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, Hazrat Abu Sa'id Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala anhu kehte hain ke Rasool Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam ne farmaya, us zaat ki qasam jiske haath mein meri jaan hai, qiyamah us waqt tak nahi aayegi jab tak darinde aadmiyon se hum kalam na honge. Qiyamah won't come until animals will begin to talk. Now if you look at all the genetic engineering, and if you look at all this cloning and all this other kind of talk that is now going on, and where they are saying that within the next few years they will clone man and human beings, so that is when we will understand what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, that Qiyamah won't come until the animal will talk to man. There are different explanations of that, but I'm not going into those details now. But I want to get you to the next part of it. اور جب تک آدمی کے کوڑے چابک کا پندنا اور اس کے جوتے کا تسمہ اس سے باتیں نہ کرنے لگے گا. Which basically means that the person who's got a whip, even that handle of the whip itself, they too will start talking. And the shoestring of the person will begin to talk. I mentioned this in one of my bayans in detail, that even the shoestring will begin to talk. And then he said that the thigh of the woman who has committed zina will give evidence. It will inform the husband that your wife has committed zina or committed adultery or fornication. Now this is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said at that time. I'm just giving an explanation, not the exact translation. Now what it means is this, that if we have to look at technology today, the technology, the advancement in the technology, that our shoestrings are talking, our dashboard is talking, our steering wheels are talking. They have made robots which are programmed, and everything they can do as instructed, whatever is programmed. This computerization of everything, the tapes are talking, everything can be recorded. So at that time it might have been difficult to understand that how will shoestring talk, how will the whip talk. So it doesn't mean it will talk like human beings. This is what it has become easy for us to understand, that what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam meant, that man, Allah Ta'ala will give him such intelligence that he will come up with these type of things, that the shoestring will also talk, the dashboard will talk, everything is talking. And then that part which he mentioned, how true it is that these days the technology is such that the person can make any part of the body also speak. They inject certain kinds of fluid, or they plant certain kind of instruments into the person's body, and they can keep a track over that person from a distance. How many prisoners now, they are released and they have a kind of a tracking device attached to them. Wherever the person goes, here the person on the computer, he is following the movement. So those husbands who will have doubt on their wives, then probably some kind of attachment they will make to the body, which the wife might not even know, or they might even know, and the person is sitting in his office and he is picking up on his voice the messages that are coming through, that this is where your wife is, this is where she is, this is what she is doing. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he gave these predictions, or he foretold this at that time when this type of technology was undreamt of. Nobody would have even dreamt of. So now when this type of technology has come about, and when we are seeing that this is exactly what is happening, then again it's that warning sign that I'm talking about, that it means that we have to get up from our sleep and slumber, and we must just start making an effort to change our lives speedily. Just as all these things are happening very, very speedily and fast, so we also have to make our changes very, very fast. But then one hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which you have heard on previous occasions too, but the purpose is to renew and refreshen our iman. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave certain signs.
وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عن قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا اتخذ الفيود دولا والأمانة مغنما والزكاة مغرما.
نبي عليه الصلاة والسلام says, in fact in another hadith he says, إذا فعلت أمتي, when my ummah will indulge and when they will engage in 15 actions, in 15 different kinds of deeds. خمسة عشرة خصلة حل بها البلاء. But in this Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, as the Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, جب مال غنیمت کو دولت قرار دیا جانے لگے, مال غنیمت کو دولت قرار دیا جانے لگے, اور جب امانت کو مال غنیمت شمار کیا جانے لگے, when mal-e ghanimat is considered as your own wealth, and when amanat is considered to be mal-e ghanimat, wo booty, aur jab zakat ko tawan samjha jane lage, and when zakat is considered to be a kind of a penalty, a fine, aur jab ilm ko deen ke alawa kisi aur gharz se sikha jaye, and when the person acquires the knowledge of deen for any other motive and purpose besides the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, besides this deen, the person is acquiring the knowledge of deen not for the sake of deen, but so that he may make a profession out of it, or he may be regarded or considered to be a great allama or mufti sahab or qari sahab or a scholar. We'll discuss all these things in detail later, but first just listen to the 15. اور جب زکاة کو تاوان سمجھا جانے لگے, اور جب علم کو دین کے علاوہ کسی اور غرض سے سکھایا جانے لگے, سکھا جائے, اور جب مرد بیوی کی اطاعت کرنے لگے, and when the husband becomes obedient to his wife, we are not talking about the fulfillment of the rights of the wives, that is a separate issue altogether. There was no one who was more concern about the fulfillment of the rights of the wives than Rasulullah Pak Sallam himself. Here we are talking about obedience in matters which are totally un-Islamic, which are against deen, against Sharia. Aur jab maa ki nafarmani ki jane lage, wa ata'a ar-rajulu imra'atahu wa aqqa ummahu wa adna sadiqahu wa aqsa aba wa zaharatil aswatu fil masajid. نبی علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام says, اور جب مرد بیوی کی اطاعت کرنے لگے, جب ماں کی نافرمانی کی جانے لگے, when mothers are disobeyed, that mother who brought up the child under such difficult conditions, who stayed awake so many nights on end when the child was sick and ill, now that same son or that same daughter who has become strong and fit and healthy and independent because of his or her earnings, or because of his or her qualifications and degrees, or because of the physical strength that the person has now, so the person takes undue advantage and then treats those parents as if they are pieces of dirt. So he says, when that happens, or disobedience to the mother to whatever extent, or jab doston ko to qareeb kar diya jaye aur baap ko dur kiya jane lage, the friends will be made close. The person will have all the time in the world for his friends. If his friend is there, then he doesn't mind. Whatever the friend will say, he will go out of his way to assist him, help him, drive him around, take him to the hospital, take him to the doctors, do all his work. But the fathers will be distanced. There will be no concern shown for the father's rights. The father will be completely ignored.
دوستوں کو تو قریب کیا جائے اور باپ کو دور کیا جانے لگے, اور جب مسجد میں شور و غل مچایا جائے,
Listen to it carefully. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, وَزَهَرَتِ الْأَصْوَاتُ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ مسجد کے اندر شور و غل کیا جانے لگے. Voices are raised, noise is made, no respect is shown for the dignity of the masjid, which is the house of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The masjids become like clubhouses for fish markets. Now, do we require any evidence for that these things are happening? Go to any nikah and see after the nikah what happens in the masjid. Or even at other times, just see what is happening in the masajid. In fact, that is the reason that we have to make the nikahs outside there in the sahan. Whereas Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, make the nikah in the masjid. But the reason for making it outside in the sahan, that at least the azab and the bala does not come upon the ummah because of the noise levels in the masjid after the nikahs. One is just congratulating and saying, MashaAllah, Allah make Mubarak, or how are you, how's your health, or asking something that is necessary. But I'm talking about all the worldly gossip that begins the moment the nikah is over, or the moment our some dini program is over. And after that, what do we engage ourselves in the masjid? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that when this happens, وَزَهَرَتِ الْأَصْوَاتُ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ, that voices ruler, who will become the sardar, or jab qaum o jamaat ki sardari us qaum o jamaat ke fasiq shakhs karne lage. The leader, the sardar, the head of the affairs of that community, the affairs of that society, the affairs of that group, the head of that will be the person who is the greatest fasiq amongst them. His qualification could be that he is the chairman of a football association, or his qualification could be that he owns plenty of gold and silver, or that he is a multimillionaire, or he's got big blocks of flats that he owns, or some other qualification of that kind. And such a person who will be fasiq, fajir, but he will be appointed the head of the Muslim societies, heads of Muslim organizations, heads of masjid committees, heads of madrasa committees. We are talking about general throughout the world. Go to America, Europe, England, South Africa, also many parts, and go and see if this prophecy of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has not come true. That the person is fasiq, they know that this person is even a gambler, he's a womanizer, he's a person who does not have anything to do with the masjid. You don't even see him on a Jummah day. Some of them can only be seen on Eid day. But just because he holds some high position in the material world, in the government, or in the parliament, or in other such organizations, so because of that, now he is also made the head of the Muslim Jamaat. He is made the head of Muslim community. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, he's giving us a warning that when this time comes, then what must you expect? So again, jab doston ko to qareeb kiya jaye aur baap ko dur kiya jane lage, aur jab masjid mein shor o ghul hone lage, aur jab qaum o jamaat ki sardari us qaum o jamaat ke fasik shakhs karne lage, اور جب قوم و جماعت کے زعیم و سربراہ اس قوم و جماعت کے کمینہ اور بزدل شخص ہونے لگے. کمینہ اور بزدل شخص, the person who is a coward, the person who has got a polluted heart, now such kind of people, they become the leaders of the قوم. وَأُكْرِمَ الرَّجُلُ مَخَافَةَ شَرِّهِ. And why will a person be respected at that time? Not because of his knowledge, not because of his taqwa, not because of his piety, not because of deen, but a person will be greeted, Assalamu alaikum, how are you, mashallah, Allah keep you well, he'll be telling him, Allah keep you well. Why? Because he's afraid of his mischief. He's not congratulating him or anything like that, or showering any kind of praise on him, because he thinks that that person really and truly deserves that praise. In fact, in his heart, he desires that when Allah Ta'ala causes the earth to open and swallow this person up, because he has created so much of mischief and fitna for the ummah. But out of fear that this person is a gangster, and if we do not respect him and give him the honor that he is seeking, then he will use the resources that he has, or he will use the contacts that he has with the government and with the defense ministry and with the police section, and he will put us into big trouble. So the person is outwardly going to be respected. Ukrima rajulu makhafata sharri, fearing the mischief coming from his side. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gives this as one further warning, that when this time comes, then what must you expect? وَزَهَرَتِ الْقَيْنَاتُ وَالْمَعَازِفُ وَشُرِبَتِ الْخُمُورُ. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that in the people, in the community, in the Muslim ummah, you will see that gaane waliyo aur saazo baajo ka daur daura ho jayega, aur sharabe pi jane lagegi. That amongst the Muslims also there will be plenty of drinking of alcohol, wine, intoxicants. Now, is there any shortage of that in the Muslim society? Go to Dubai airport, and what's the largest sale is of the alcohol that is sold there. Go to other Muslim countries' airports, and go to the countries themselves. Go to Palestine and see what happens there. Look at how many businesses there which are being run by Muslims. Go to England, go to other places, people from Turkey and people from other parts of the world with beautiful Muslim names. And the shops and the businesses that they are operating are those of liquor, wine, and such kind of things. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says alcohol will be drunk, and singing and dancing girls will become very, very common. Now at that time it was difficult that every person, where is he going to hire and pay for the singing girl to come? But in today's time, with our television and our radios, just a flick of the switch and you can get singing girls from around the world in your lounge, in your bedroom, in your dining room, in your car, anywhere. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said this will become very, very common. So at that time we didn't understand that how will it come so much in vogue. Because those days, if they wanted singing girls, then they had to hire them. So if one person had to hire singing girls, the whole area, they will see that this person, suddenly where these girls are coming to sing in his house. So at least that would have restrained him from listening to them. But in our time, in the secrecy, in the privacy of a person's room, he can listen to anything. So at such a time, if he doesn't have khawf of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then he cannot restrain him. We will discuss these things later in detail, but at present just listen to the items that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned. Aur jab sharab pi jane lagegi, aur jab is ummat ke pichle log agle logo ko bura kehne lage aur un par lanat bhejne lage, and when the people of the present time start cursing those of the past. Here it is again, there's an explanation there that people will curse the Sahaba-e-Kiram Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. They will curse our ancestors who were pious, who were righteous, and they will say that no, they had this weakness and they had that weakness, and they will find all kinds of faults with them. So he says that when these type of things happen, when these 15 things become prevalent in the society, then what must you wait for? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, to us waqt tum in cheezo ke jald hi zahir hone ka intizar karo, then you will find the following things happening very, very quickly. Surkh yane tez o tand o shadeed tareen tufani aandhi ka aana, gale force winds, very, very violent storms. So you must expect zalzala, zameen ke andar dhans jana, zalzale ki wajah se zameen ka andar dhans jana. Earthquakes which will swallow up large tracts of land, large homes, big buildings, In fact, sometimes big cities, earthquake will swallow it up. You must expect that, you must wait for it. Not long ago we had the earthquake of Turkey, and what happened there, who does not know? But did they take any lesson from there? We had the earthquake of Iran. Over 50,000 people were just swallowed up in a few minutes or in a few seconds. And we had earthquakes in Los Angeles and so many other parts of the world, that all the technology that they had was not able to keep those buildings upright. So he says, you must expect, when all these type of things happen in my ummah, then you must expect zalzala, that means earthquake. Suraton ke masho tabdeel ho jane ka. And another very dangerous thing that will happen, and very serious matter, and we must not think that this is something that's not possible, is that faces will become transformed. Allah Ta'ala will cause a metamorphosis, or He will change the faces and shapes of people from that of human beings to that of apes, or sometimes of khinzir. Allah Ta'ala must protect us. When indulgence in all these type of sins will increase, then this is something that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is warning, that even this you must expect, that it will happen. And not long ago we had some kind of reported cases of this metamorphosis that took place, and they said that about 700 people were affected and then they died, and the matter was hushed up very, very quickly. But there was a kind of a disease that was spreading. So sometimes you just get a few cases here and there to show that this will happen in large numbers closer to Qiyamah. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that you must expect that. Or patharo ke barasne ka, and Allah Ta'ala will cause stones to rain from the heavens. We heard recently of how hailstones the size of tennis balls were rained in certain areas. Now where are you going to hide from that? And these things will then increase. He says it will increase. And how will it increase? He says it's just like how when you have a tasbih in your hand, and if the tasbih string has to snap, then one after the other the beads come down. You hold a tasbih like that and snap the one bead there, and then hold it like that. It doesn't take time for all the beads to just come down from that string. So like that, all the fitnas and all the disasters and all the what they call natural disasters, all those things will follow one after the other, like how when the tasbih is snapped, then the beads follow one after the other. Now if you have to look in the world in the light of these signs that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave, practically everything is becoming prevalent. In fact, if you have to read all the hadiths about the alamat of Qiyamah, then you will see that whatever is happening in Palestine and whatever is happening in other parts of the world, it seems that all the predictions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam are being fulfilled. And the only thing that we can wait for after that is the arrival of Imam Mahdi, and then the major signs of Qiyamah. Otherwise, all the minor signs, when you listen to it about what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said will be happening, then we will just have to say that there was no doubt that he was the Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It was only due to the wahi which used to come to him that he was able to inform us about these signs of Qiyamah. Inshallah, if Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wills, we will continue from here tomorrow. So in the i'tikaf, whilst you have the opportunity to make the best of it, stay away from any kind of gossip, any kind of ghibat. Necessary talk, you talk, but like that to pass time in any kind of sinful thing, especially in the masjid, it is very serious matter. And raising of voices, you should talk softly if it is necessary to talk. Zaharatil aswatu fil masajid. It is one of those 15 signs that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave before Qiyamah. So masjids must be given its due dignity and respect. It is the house of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Outwardly it may be just a piece of ground on which even there is no musalla. But if it is masjid, then it is sacred. And all the ahkam of masjid apply to that piece of ground. So may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of making amal, and protect us from all the fitnas which are now coming. Just like how Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam predicted, like the tasbih that snaps and the beads come one after the other. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.